Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm speaking to you after Toronto Raptors took down the Atlanta Magic by a score of 107-85 in Game 4. Look, if you're looking for reasons why this Raptors team is different than previous Raptors teams, this game is the one example you should look to, because when they had a chance to put the Magic away, to stomp on their necks, that's exactly what they did. I mean, this was just a dominating performance. This is just something where the previous Raptors teams wouldn't have done this. I mean, literally, the Raptors have never held a 3-1 advantage. And it's not like they haven't been up 2-1 with an opportunity to go up 3-1. No, these Game 4s, these swing games, as Sirit said on Twitter, you know, these games where Game 4 really reveal who you are. The Raptors in these Game 4s have always shown some sign of weakness. You know, I remember last year I was in Washington. Raptors were up 2-1. They were up 2-0 after the first two games at home. They go out on the road. They lose Game 3. It's one of those things where, like, all right, look, them, you know, the Wizards, they came out with a lot of energy in Game 3. You can understand that loss, but that Game 4, I was there. I remember it. It was a tough game. The Raptors were in the game. It was very close. I'm not sure if they had a lead or if they were down, but regardless, it was very close. And then early in the fourth quarter, Bradley Beal picks up a very, extremely dubious foul call, and he fouls out. And so the Raptors have this prime golden opportunity to take over, to make a statement, you know, after winning the first seed, after winning 59 games, everything like that, you know, just take over and actually win and just take care of business. And they couldn't do it. And, you know, the Wizards ended up tying that series, and the Raptors ended up winning games 5 and 6. But, you know, again, previous teams, they just didn't have that sort of killer edge. They didn't have the killer instinct. Today, the Raptors, like, the Magic just never really had a chance. The Magic came out strong. You know, they came out energetic. That's something that Steve Clifford talked about plenty in terms of just the Magic need to get off to better starts. The Raptors have gotten off to 11-0 in Game 2 and then 10-0 in Game 3. So, you know, the Magic this time come out to a 7-0 lead. The Raptors are committing these weird turnovers. Nick Vucevic is hitting these little mid-range pick-and-pops, which is really, you know, helping the team get some confidence. But then, you know, the Raptors regroup. They regroup. And really, the reason they regrouped was because playoff Kawhi back and healthy. You know, he took some Tylenol, whatever, took some, you know, time off from practice and stuff, and he came back and he's just as good in this game as he was in Game 2 at home, which obviously was very memorable, and that was our introduction to playoff Kawhi. This is a follow-up, then this is more of the same. And if anything else, you know, this game was also really encouraging because it seemed like for once Kawhi actually got his, you know, free throw calls for once. Like, that's something Kawhi talked about as well. It was just, look, you know, part of the reason I've been struggling a little bit is also because I'm just not usually getting the right calls at the rim. And today he got 9 free throw attempts, which is honestly proportionate to how physical and how much he plays inside. He's always constantly driving. And, you know, it's part one of the things where he's so strong, you know, it's hard to officiate him, like, you know, give him the same calls that most other players would get. You know, it's one thing to bump Terrence Ross, and then, you know, he's so skinny, he's going to move around, you're going to notice the contact. With Kawhi, he's literally so strong, he drags defenders with him on his drives to the rim. And so, you know, not all of it was called, but I mean, also, it's just Kawhi played a lot better. Like, you know, like, it seemed like in Game 3, he couldn't buy a jump shot. Today, you know, ruthlessly efficient, 12 of 20, you know, the mid-range jumper. I mean, there were a couple plays. I mean, I've said this on the podcast a couple times, but it's a couple plays. We were just like, this is MJ with cornrows. Like, this is, he's got that little, like, mid-range game just completely down pat. Like, you know, and it's hard because, you know, he'll drive, like, across the lane and then stop on a dime and then go up perfectly still while the defender is still going the other way. And there's just no way for them to recover unless they have the sort of same strength in their legs, really, and the same coordination. And Kawhi is just consistently able to get those shots up. And it's so deadly because, you know, most teams are conceding that mid-range shot. And, you know, that's where Kawhi really excels. But seriously, Kawhi was awesome. And there was a play where in the fourth quarter, you know, the Magic, they had hit a couple of shots just to sort of keep and stay within striking distance. It felt like the Raptors could have ran away with it just in the third quarter anyway, but, you know, Terrence Ross hits this incredible buzzer beater, you know, running buzzer beater from half court. This is literally the second game in a row he's done that now. You know, Aaron Gordon was having a great game. I mean, I came away really impressed with Aaron Gordon tonight. But, you know, yeah, the bench gives the Raptors a boost, and I'll talk about it in a second. But, you know, what finally, you know, put the Raptors over the top was Kawhi came in, had a chase down block against Wesley Wundu. The play goes the other way. The ball finds Kawhi, and this is what I mean. The guy's so strong. He literally, like, Wundu was playing him perfectly. Kawhi just drove through his body and got in for a layup. And, like, that was one of those things that was, like, demoralizing, really, because you're the Magic. Because, like, there's nothing you could do to stop him, right? Even if you try to make this comeback, you know, you know, like, who knows? Like, it's not unreasonable for the team to make a comeback. Like, they're only down, like, 12, 13 points, and they're at home. You know, I could have seen a situation where at least previous Raptors teams, they would have blown that. But previous Raptors teams didn't have Kawhi. And Kawhi was just unstoppable tonight, man. I mean, and when you see that, and when you play perfect defense, and he's literally doing whatever he wants to you, like, it's over. So, you know, Flav Kawhi showed up, you know, showed a sense of urgency. But, you know, there's also a game where, look, the Raptors as a whole really executed really well because, you know, the Magic played with a lot more desperation. I thought this is the type of defense that they would end up playing in terms of just how athletic their personnel is. Like, they're long and they play into that by sort of staying home and being conservative, and that's Steve Clifford's philosophy. But the Raptors have been scoring so well against that scheme that they decided to, like, you know, become more aggressive. They were basically zoning up whenever, you know, Kyle had the ball, whenever Kawhi had the ball, whenever Pascal had the ball. And so there was always a slight advantage on the other side of the floor. And I thought, you know, Magic did a great job of just, you know, forcing the Raptors into turnovers. They had 14 today. You know, they turned them into, you know, transition points, 13 for the Magic. And so, you know, it's something where they use their length. They pressure the Raptors. The Raptors made a couple of skip passes that were ill-advised. They got picked off. You know, guys like Terrence Ross, Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, those guys are all very athletic and active. And so, you know, they played a swarming style defense. But the Raptors handled it pretty well. I mean, A, you know, it helps when Kawhi can just give you 34 points on 12 of 20 shooting and barely break a sweat. But it also helps when, like, you have such good playmakers and such heady playmakers in Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, you know, clinical finishers, and Danny Green. Danny Green didn't even really hit the three as efficient as he usually does. I mean, he had some, you know, mint looks that he just whiffed on. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, Danny was, you know, finishing out those sequences. Pascal, obviously, is very efficient with his offense, even though he wasn't really featured today. He just got, you know, 14 points, or he got 16 points within the flow of the offense, which I think is very impressive. I mean, seriously, like, not once did I remember him posting up and then running plays like it was in game three. Pascal was just playing the game and taking the shots available to him. And he still got 16. But then what was really a nice surprise today was just how much the bench actually gave the Raptors a boost. And those three guys off the bench that, you know, the Raptors are relying on right now, they're basically running a tight eight-man rotation, are Norman Powell, Serge Ibaka, and Fred VanVleet. Now, coming into this game, the Magic, you know, obviously their bench has outplayed the Raptors bench for the most part, but it was largely, literally, if you just look at Terrence Ross and Michael Carter-Williams, those two guys combined had scored more points than the Raptors' entire bench crew. And then keep in mind that, you know, there's plenty of garbage time in game two as well, because that was a blowout. So it was just one of those situations where the Raptors bench guys had to play better. You know, part of it was, you know, Ibaka and VanVleet having trouble with the pick and roll, and then Norm sort of basically being a little bit tentative and only taking threes and stuff, so they weren't as effective. But today, all three of them, to varying degrees, were very effective. You know, Fred, I thought, you know, ended up taking a couple of ill-advised shots, but ultimately, you know, he created on a couple of plays where he either got to the line or got an improbable layup to fall. I remember one he got over Aaron Gordon. I thought was like, wow, I thought he was pinned, but then he somehow got a reverse layup. You know, Fred was decent, but I mean, the two guys off the bench that really shine were Serge Ibaka and Norman Powell, who, again, going back to that, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter stretch, it was really anyone's game at that point, in the sense that, you know, the Magic, if they wanted to, they could have made a push against the Raptors' weaker units and gotten themselves back into the game. And who knows, you know, in a close game, got a couple calls going your way, a couple shots go down, a couple misses for the Raptors, and all of a sudden you end up in a game one situation where you steal a game. But the bench never let them have that. You know, Serge ends up taking a 20-footer. He drains that. It kind of, you know, dribbles in, but he got it. Serge got a vital putback, and, you know, Norm also chipped in with a couple of driving layups, just sort of flying and going 100% speed towards the rim, and you know, attacking guys like Terrence Ross and using his physicality and you know, as athleticism. Like, quite honestly, like, this is things that like Norm's always capable of, right? Like, you know, Norm is sort of inconsistent, so he only have like one good game in four games. Another three will be, you know, you hardly even notice he's there. But today he was great. Like, he had 16 points in 7 of 9 shooting, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line, hit a free throw, you know, was a plus 14 in 21 minutes. I mean, you know, he even got a podium game. That's a Norman Powell podium game. That's when you know the Raptors have definitely won. Oh, Norman Powell is going to the podium, because usually, you know, in terms of playoff history with the Raptors, if Norman's playing well, the Raptors are pretty much guaranteed to win. So Norm gave them a huge boost. And also Serge, I just want to commend Serge a lot, because, you know, in this series especially, because of how much length the Magic are putting out there with their bench, like, Fred is just not really able to create good offense for Serge. Now, Fred isn't even the best playmaker to begin with, but, you know, Fred and Serge just really haven't really worked well together in this series. But Serge today, I think he'd made a great adjustment in terms of just, he went out and got his own offense. And he can do that as a big man by just, you know, playing hard, going and hustling and getting on the glass. And, you know, that's part of why Serge had, you know, such a nice year this season, especially with his scoring, was that not only was he playing with, you know, Kyle Lowry a lot and then in the new position at center, so there's a better spacing and things like this. But Serge also just showed a lot more activity in terms of, you know, getting on the offensive glass. This is, you know, one of his better years in terms of offensive rebounding, and his finish around the basket has been solid. So today he got to the rim, you know, got 3 offensive rebounds today, got a couple of putbacks, you know, hit an outside three. And, you know, that's one of those things where if you're Serge, like, part of it is on you too. Like, you can't always just expect the other guys to feed you. Like, you are a capable player. You are, you know, bigger, quite honestly, than anyone the Magic have on their bench. And so, you know, Serge, yeah, you know, you can go get your own offense sometimes. And I think if he takes that mentality and he plays with that hustle, especially because he's not playing as many minutes because now Gasol's in, like, if that's the case, then, like, you know, just go out there and do your best and work hard. And, you know, it's obviously unfortunate. It's not great that he got benched. But I mean, obviously it's unfortunate because Gasol is just better, but still, it's not like he can't be effective. And I thought today was a great example of how he could be effective. This is the blueprint for how he's going to be successful going forward. But, just overall, it was just, you know, more than anything else, it was just a really good defensive performance of the Raptors too. I mean, the Magic only had 85 points, like 85 points in a playoff game. Right. And you know, this is a fully healthy team. They got capable scorers, but, you know, once again, Nick Vucevic couldn't do anything against Gasol. There's just nothing. Like, he's going to have nightmares about Gasol. Like, Magic fans were booing at one point because, you know, Vucevic went strong to the rim and Gasol just blocked him. And they're like, oh, it's a foul. And then you see the replay. It's the cleanest block you've ever seen. He just has nothing against Gasol. Now, he hit a couple of mid-range jumpers, and it's fine. The Raptors didn't overreact, nothing. They're just like, you can keep shooting jumpers if you want to. We're not letting you get anything in the paint. He was he had another terrible game. 11 points on minus, you know, it was a minus 19 on the night and shot 5 of 14. The Raptors did a great job going at Isaac. Now, again, the foul calls in this game, you know, were a lot looser for the Raptors around the rim. Obviously, it was a different crew than the previous two that, you know, or the previous three that have officiated so far. But yeah, Isaac, you know, they made a point of attacking him, and then, you know, he ended up in foul trouble, and, you know, he lost his confidence. He didn't really have anything going. He took this stupid dribble, like, he started, like, just starting to dribble and attack from the mid-range. He took a ill-advised mid-range shot, and I don't think he saw the floor after that. I think he was just strictly benched, which is pretty well to me, because I think Isaac is actually really useful in the series. You know, all the talk coming into the series was how much Isaac's defense was going to be a factor. He had 0 points in 16 minutes, 0-4 shooting, didn't defend anybody. And yeah, just, you know, he was neutralized. You know, so the Raptors had, so it's the Magic, sorry, they had to go to their bench to find production with Isaac out. You know, they went to Terrence Ross. I mean, Terrence, I mean, listen, as a Raptors fan, I have a message to other to Magic fans. Listen, if you are a playoff team relying on Terrence Ross, you're gonna be in for some disappointment. Now, Terrence has played really well in the playoffs so far on the whole. Even in game one, when, you know, he only shot 2 of 11, I thought he was still pretty good with his playmaking. Today, Terrence was 1 of 5 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. That one was a half court running prayer that he banked in. So really, he should have gone, you know, without scoring. And also his defense was just so bad. You want to know why Norm had a great game? Well, a lot of that was because he was matched up against Terrence and just literally his eyes were lighting up every time he saw Terrence. But, you know, when you take Isaac off the floor, that also means that Gordon can only guard one of Kawhi or Pascal. And so the Raptors, you know, made sure to pick on Terrence a little bit defensively as well. And you know, Terrence ended up being a minus 25 in 31 minutes, which, you know, again, as effective as he's been in certain scenarios, and the Raptors have obviously treated him with a ton of respect, you know, double teaming him all the time and trapping him and stuff like that. You're basically giving him the Steph Curry treatment. But I mean, like, you know, Terrence just, he takes a lot off the floor. He takes a lot off the table, and if he's not hitting those threes, so they picked on him. And then, you know, just everywhere else, you know, Fournier got a couple of, you know, scores inside. That's fine. That's the game plan. Like, they're going to run him off the 3-point line and sort of make him go inside. You know, he ends up having 19 points and 16 shots. Like, cool, congratulations. Like, you know, DJ Augustine only 8 points so far. Like, you know, wasn't really a factor. I mean, Aaron Gordon was really the only guy giving the Raptors trouble, but even him, he was basically taking the shots the Raptors are giving him, right? The Raptors basically don't want him to post up. They don't want him to, you know, take layups. And they didn't give him any. Like, most of the time, Aaron Gordon was taking outside shots and making them, and mid-range pull-ups and threes. And he's a talented player, and he works really hard, and, you know, he can make a couple of those, but, you know, it's fine. The Raptors are completely cool with the Magic shooting outside shots. Like, you know, they know that they're not going to be beaten with that formula. And when Gordon did go inside, by the way, yeah, Serge Ibaka had one of the nastiest blocks of the season. And it wasn't like a disrespectful kind of thing. It wasn't like a chase down block. He didn't stare at him and, you know, throw the ball at him or anything. But Gordon just tried his very best to dunk on him. And you know, Aaron Gordon is obviously one of the premier dunkers in the NBA. He's super athletic. And Serge just met him at the rim and sent him back down. Like, literally sent him and the ball and the body all down at the same time. So, you know, Raptors' defense was great. And again, like, this, you know, what was so encouraging about this game was just this killer instinct. Like, the Raptors, like, they just, as a franchise, just have never had a killer instinct. But, like I said earlier, they never had Kawhi, man. Kawhi was so good. Like, it's just kind of funny how good he is, you know what I mean? Like, when you watch it, it's almost like it's unfair. Like, the only thing I could really reference to and compare it to is this must have how it felt when, you know, other, when Cavs fans are watching LeBron against us in previous seasons. It was just like, you know, oh, it's nice that, oh, look, oh, Corey Joseph has a couple of shots today. And, like, oh, look, you know, Bismack Biyombo blocked Tristan Thompson. It's like, oh, cool, you know, all this stuff's happening. Oh, Kyle, you know, shot to the rim a couple times. Like, it doesn't matter because we have the best player. And when he wants to, he's going to impose himself on the game, and there's nothing you could do to stop him. And that's basically what happened with Kawhi today. And Kawhi's been incredible. Like, everything is as advertised, you know, exactly as advertised, to be honest. And as a playoff performer, it's just super impressive. I mean, you know, game one, he was great. Didn't play enough minutes, but he was great. Game two, obviously sensational. Today, sensational. And it was just that one game where he was sick. That's it. And, you know, even afterwards, he's like, look, I didn't talk about it because, you know, he really didn't talk about it. It was Nick Nurse who talked about it. But Kawhi said he didn't talk about it because, you know, he doesn't want to make any excuses. Yeah. And then he went out there and he backed it up 34 points in 35 minutes. It's actually funny watching him on the podium afterwards because, you know, like, you look at how happy Pascal was, you know, how much Danny was looking to hype up, you know, Pascal after, you know, he had 30 points and things like that. You know, and that's kind of the reaction that most players have. They know that, like, the podium is like a place where, you know, they can get some content. They can sort of, you know, raise their profile. It's like an interesting platform. It's become a platform because the players know that there are a lot of viral moments coming out of that post-game setting. And then you see Kawhi after scoring 34 points in a crucial game four, and he's literally sitting there bored out of his mind wearing like a white, like, New Balance shirt / jacket. I couldn't really tell, to be honest. Looked like a really baggy prom shirt that I wore to prom. But yeah, I mean, he was just sitting there like bored out of his mind, you know, giving the same flat answers. And it's just funny. It really is just funny to watch because, like, again, like, he doesn't, it's very refreshing to not have a player get sort of caught up in the moment, you know, to get too emotional, not too high, not too low. I mean, he's perfectly zen all the time. He's focused on the task, and, you know, it's just it's a great mentality. It's a common mentality as a leader when you see that a guy like Kawhi can just make sure he can take care of business And, you know, the rest of the team can just play off of that. It's a huge luxury because the Raptors just haven't had that kind of star. You know, like, it's not fair to really compare, you know, DeMar to Kawhi because, like, they're two different classes as players, you know? And the mentality is entirely different, you know? And Kawhi, he has this, like, quiet determination. And, you know, he's not afraid of any moment at all. And that comes from literally having won a championship you know, being Finals MVP. This team is pretty stacked. And lastly, before I go on to three stars and stuff, I just wanted to quickly touch on Gasol and Lowry because, you know, this point has been made before. I'm pretty sure Assad was the first one to make it. I got to get him on the podcast soon. But, yeah, I mean, Lowry and Gasol are basically like the same, like, player spiritually. Like, both, like, team-first stars that are willing to sacrifice, willing to play defense, willing to move the ball, willing to make the extra hustle play. Like, this is the thing. Like, Kyle scoring 9 points, no one's going to complain about that at all because he's doing so many other things. Like, I watched him single-handedly, like, box out Khem Birch for a rebound. And, you know, he didn't even have great position, but, like, he just, like, by sheer will, moved the man who's, like, pretty much, like, 50 pounds heavier than him and, like, 10 inches taller than him, just moved him out of the way. And there's small, subtle plays. Like, you know, obviously everyone knows about the charges, and he took another one today. He literally is taking one every game now. But there's also another play where I think he was working a little, like, broken play, two-man game with Norman Powell on the baseline. And Norm went baseline, and Kyle just stopped instead of clearing out in that area. And what that did was that it basically acted as a screen, and it got Norm a free path to the rim, where Kyle basically screened his own man, who was the only guy who was available to help on the play. He stopped so that he can neutralize that guy and give Norm a clear path to the rim. And it's so clever. He's such a smart player. And the passing and stuff like that, you know, Kyle, a little bit turnover prone today. I think the Magic, again, like I said, you know, with their trapping defense, you know, Kyle had a little bit of trouble with it sometimes. They throw a couple of ill-advised passes. But overall, Kyle's, you know, ball movement and passing and playmaking was great. And, you know, knocked down the shots that he had on the floor, like, you know, 2 of 5 from 3, 3 of 8 from the field, you know, got to the free throw line. Like, this is, you know, this is a classic Kyle game. And then Mark, and this is another thing where, like, so Mark only played 25 minutes because, you know, A, Serge was playing really well, and B, like, you know, actually, I don't really know. I guess there was some garbage time at the end, so he didn't really get to play his full stint of minutes. But, you know, with the way the Magic were sort of rotating and contesting against him, like, he didn't have a lot of open shots. He didn't really force any shots, and he just kept the ball moving, and he played great defense. Again, Vucevic struggled, and, you know, he only takes 3 shots in 25 minutes. We're talking about a multiple-time All-Star, an All-NBA-level player, you know, a very, very established resume, being completely content to take 3 shots. And, you know, you'll never hear a peep out of Mark about complaining about his stats. He literally doesn't play for his stats. He's just there to keep everything humming. And with the starting lineup, with Gasol in it, it just makes it super, super dynamic and also very effective defensively. So I'm very encouraged by this performance. And, again, the mentality of the Raptors this season has completely, completely changed, you know. So in terms of 3 stars, Kawhi obviously number 1, 34 points, 12 of 20 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. It's great that he's finally getting calls. There's honestly a couple of calls and I'm like, yo, this is some superstar calls right here, like James Harden level. But, you know, it's fine. You gotta overcorrect sometimes when you know you're wrong the man. So, you know, he also got 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, plus 20. 35 minutes. I mean, the man did whatever he wanted to. It's very comforting. I think my buddy Chris Walder said on Twitter, Kawhi cures anxiety. And I think, you know, I mean, obviously he's, you know, being cute with that. But also, I think, speaking as a fan, like, there were a couple moments in the fourth quarter where I saw the timeline. Everyone's a little bit, you know, overconfident about the Raptors. They're talking about, oh, I'm not going to watch the fourth quarter. I'm going to watch Game of Thrones or whatever because we're overlapping. And I'm just like, yo, I mean, do I trust the Raptors to hold a 13-point lead with the bench and, you know, with a quarter plus to go on the road in the playoff setting? I don't know. But yeah, like, you know, sometimes I just forget that Kawhi's there and he can literally do whatever he wants. So it's a great luxury. Second star, I'm giving that to Norman Powell. Just love the way he attacked the basket. Just super energetic, super willful going to the rim. Like what Nick Nurse described him as, a rocket, which is honestly when Norm Powell's at his best, when he can catch out on the go, he has such a great burst that he's going to get by his man. And at that point, it's just about finishing. In previous seasons, you know, he would rush and he would like fly in at 100 miles per hour and then clank these layups. Today, I mean, I saw a couple of plays where he was really, really smart about the way he was finishing. You know, just because you have a beat on your man doesn't necessarily mean you should rush to get the shot off. Like, if anything, you should use that beat to sort of, like, you know, feel where the defender is, you know, get that contact and go over the top and, you know, do whatever you need to do to finish. Something that, you know, Pascal and Kawhi do really well, actually, with their patience. And, you know, Norm, I thought he showed that against Terrence Ross today. But, you know, it was also really aggressive. You know, the 16 points, this is great. I mean, again, Norm's going to have a lot of off nights in the playoffs where he's completely disappears. But when he's on, the Raptors almost always win. It's a great great luxury to have. And then third star, I'm going to give it to Serge Ibaka just because, yeah, I'm not saying he's the third best player in this game, but you know, he played well. And again, the Raptors bench, like, the starters are going to be great. Like, the starters are literally, they play great every single game. Now, today, like, the Magic came out with a lot of energy in the first quarter, and so it kind of, like, neutralized a little bit of what they would usually do. But the starters, I think, are, like, plus 50 or plus 60 now after this game on a whole. But the bench has been terrible, right? And finally, the bench played well today. You know, I think Ibaka and Norm are basically the biggest reasons for that. And so I'm going to give them the second and third stars, you know? So Serge, 13 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, 5 of 6 shooting, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line, 2 to the free throw line. Yeah, Serge is locked in. And again, this is another veteran who's sacrificing a lot, you know, having a career year in terms of scoring, gets sent to the bench midway through the season. And, you know, when he produces, you know, it's such a luxury for the Raptors, because the Raptors, honestly, like, part of what made them so successful all season is how much production they got out of their centers, Ibaka especially, because he was the constant throughout. And yeah, it's just been weird seeing him struggle with the bench. We know he's better than that, and today he amped up his intensity defensively, offensively, just everything, and he had a great performance. So he gets the third star. The Joe Henderson Award, I'm going to give that to I'm not giving it to Aaron Gordon out of respect, even though Aaron Gordon was definitely the best player for the Magic. But I just think that Aaron Gordon, like, having watched him a little bit closely, you know, at least way more closely than I did in previous years, Aaron Gordon is a really good player. And he's if he can just, like, be a little bit more mobile and sort of more fluid with his movements and get to the spots on the floor that he likes, he's pretty good. Like, his mid-range game is solid. His three-point shot is solid. Like, it's a little bit, you know, robotic, but it's kind of, it's a little bit like Kawhi's, to be honest. Like, Kawhi's three-point shot is robotic, but Kawhi can hit it. And Aaron Gordon, I think, is the same way. And if Aaron could just, like, you know, figure out how to, you know, get to the rim, get to his spots, you know, attack the basket and stuff, he's going to be a really good player in this league. And I thought his, obviously, you know, crazy athlete as well, but I thought even his playmaking was good. But so I don't want to give it to Aaron Gordon, so I don't want to disrespect him. So I'm going to give it to Evan Fournier. He finally has a good game in the series. Fournier was just, like, literally trash. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he was so bad in games 1 through 3 that I was literally advocating for Terrence Ross to start over him. And I'm not a big Terrence Ross fan at all. But, I mean, like, game 1, Fournier, 7 of 18. Game 2, 4 of 12. Game 3, 1 of 12, right? So he has been awful. And, he's a minus 31 in game 2. Today, yeah, he had 19 points, 8 of 16 shooting. I don't think he changed his game and played that differently. He just finished a lot better in the paint. But, you know, again, playing above your level is, you know, the definition of Gerald Henderson. So, and then the Patrick Patterson Award for the Raptors. I don't think there is one tonight, to be honest. Like, none of the rotation players played poorly, so instead, I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna give it to the Magic. I'm gonna give it to a Magic player, and then the Magic player I'm giving it to is Nick Vucevic, who has been a massive disappointment throughout this year's playoffs. You know, I was in the cab on the way back from the arena to the hotel, and I was talking to Magic with the cab driver, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, the Magic just, they got to get better players." And Vucevic, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade him, because, you know, he's just been a huge disappointment. And I think,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, it's not completely fair to Vucevic. He's had a great year, and you know, they can't even trade him because he's a free agent anyway. So that's a pretty big decision for them. But, I mean, again, you got to take into consideration. There are, you know, Draymond's famous line, there are 82 game players and 16 game players. Vucevic might just be a – this is only his, like, first real playoff run. So, it's not entirely fair. But to me, the way I'm looking at it, like, he is kind of like – he's an 82 game player. You know, when you have regular defenses, when teams aren't really scouting you and stuff, a big man like that who has good hands, who, you know, is effective around the basket, works hard, rebounds well, you know, passes all right, and even has a decent outside shot, and people respect that outside shot. Like, you know, like you're gonna get some points. You're gonna average a couple baskets. I don't want to take anything away from his season. He was an all-star, but in the playoffs, he's been very disappointing. 3 of 14 in game one, 3 of 7 in game two. You know. He had that breakout game in Game 3, but they lost. And also, really, that only happened because Marc Gasol got into deep foul trouble for no reason, really. And then today, I mean, in a must-win scenario, he shoots 5 of 14 from the field, gets abused defensively, and has 11 points and is a minus 19. Like, you know, if you're the Magic, you got to really, really be careful about who you're paying this offseason. And if you want to stick with Vucevic, then I don't know. Because, again, the Raptors have played him really well, right? Defensively. Taking away the post-ups, you know, basically let him take the outside shot and then went at him on defense. Like, and he has kind of failed to adapt to that. And if you're, you know, if you're the Magic, you got to be careful. So he gets the Patrick Patterson Award. Overall, it's been a very successful road trip. You know, the Raptors taking both games. Game 3 is a little bit hairy because of the foul trouble. Game 4, the fouls started coming and. Or at least the fouls were called fairly, and all of a sudden, you know, the Raptors, you know, race out to this 22-point win. So, feels good. Hopefully, the Raptors can just close out in 5. Again, it looks like Philly is going to overcome Brooklyn. Brooklyn had their chance in Game 4, but they blew it. And so, Philadelphia is also up 3-1. And look, listen, you want to play Philly as early as possible because Joel Embiid has that bulky knee. He doesn't really look right, at least to me. And you know, you don't want to give him extra days rest to sort of let him recuperate and stuff. So take care of business, wrap it up in 5. Don't come back to Orlando. I don't want to come back to Orlando. This place, you know, aside from the weather, is not great. just not enough. Like, if you have family, like, you want to take your family here, that's fine, that's cool. But this place is just a lot of old people and swamps. So, like, you know, aside from that, yeah, I'm just don't send me back to Game 6. So just take care of it in 5 and yeah, so thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. And yeah, I'll be back after Game 5. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.